There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Where to Go. I'm James Atkinson, Senior Brand Manager at DKI Witness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DKI Witness.
And welcome to Where to Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. And today, Lucy, we are in Prague.
We're in Prague. I can't actually believe we've not been to Prague before.
I know. I was thinking, like, I've lost count of how many episodes we've done now. It's 60-something, maybe 70. Who knows? Lucy, you might know. But yeah, we haven't been to Prague yet. I feel like it's just a big gaping hole missing.
Totally.
So very, very excited to be visiting Prague. Have you been before, Lucy?
I haven't been. Oh. So I'm very excited because I need to educate myself on the ways of Prague. James, I feel like you have been to Prague.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, Lucy knows this. I have a confession to make, listener, that I am one of the people who has been on a stag do in Prague.
Shameful.
So for our American listeners, that's a bachelor party. But it was quite a few years ago. It was about 8 or 9 years ago. Had quite a lot of fun. Drank a lot. I mean, I will say, yeah, if there's one place to drink beer, it's Prague. The beer was
yes.
Absolutely excellent. And yeah, the memories are fairly fuzzy, to be honest. So I am very much looking forward to hearing about what I should have been looking at and what I should have been visiting. No, we did do a day of culture. We did go up to Prague Castle. We did a little hike through one of the parks as well after everything. So it wasn't, we did see a bit of Prague, and what we saw of it was absolutely incredible as well. Some of those sort of bohemian kind of like coffee houses and things like that were excellent, alongside lots of great pubs and bars. But we have a real Eastern Europe expert, don't we?
We do.
Lucy?
Yep. We do. We've got a great guest. Joseph Rini is a travel writer and comedy writer and editor, as well as the founder and editor-in-chief of travel writing agency World Words and the host of brand new travel podcast Strange Old World. He has written about destinations across the world for an exhausted list of travel publications, including our book Go Here Instead. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Welcome, Joe. It's great to have you on the podcast. As usual, we're going to begin with learning a little bit more about our guest, Joe, followed by his all-important recommendations on where to go and insider knowledge of Prague. Then we'll hear about upcoming exciting events and ways to make the most positive impact when you visit.
So, Joe, you divide your time between Edinburgh and Prague. I think you said before we started recording, you've just arrived in Prague. Tell us about that connection to Prague.
So it's quite a boring answer, I'm afraid. My wife is Czech. We met in Manchester about 15 years ago, and I moved to Prague in 2010. And we stayed for a couple of years, and then we moved around. We lived in different places, including Edinburgh.
Yes.
For a few years. And then we decided we wanted to reconnect with Prague and be close to my wife's family. Mm-hmm. So we moved back, I think, 6 years ago, 2017. And we've been back and forth ever since.
And obviously, Joe, you've travelled extensively as part of your career, and it seems you have a real love for sort of like Eastern and Central Europe in particular. Can you tell us why? Is that kind of down to your wife's influence, or is it kind of just through exploration, really?
No, it predated that by quite a while. I think when I was 16 or 17, I started travelling abroad with a couple of friends, and we naturally kind of gravitated towards Central and Eastern Europe, mainly because of cheap flights, low travel costs. And, for the rest of my teenage years, every chance we would go away during half terms, weekends, summer holidays, And we went to places like Latvia, Estonia, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, Poland, Hungary, Austria. And we were really captivated by how different those places felt to the UK and to Western Europe. I think this was the early 2000s, so it wasn't before the expansion of the EU, and it wasn't as westernized, I think, as it is now, that you could see kind of the remnants of socialism and communism a bit more. And a very small thing that really captured my imagination was the fact that when you were at train stations, there were no platforms. You would just walk across the track, which is a really small thing, but at the time it really made it feel like an adventure rather than a holiday.
Yeah.
And I still get a little bit of a kick out of that now when I travel around and I walk across the tracks.
Yeah.
How many train stations still have that kind of system?
In Czech Republic, there are a few. The big cities tend to have platforms now, but almost every smaller town and village, you just walk across the tracks.
Wow.
And you can do it in Prague, legally, I think. I certainly don't. There used to be. If you go out the back way from Hlavní nádraží in Prague, then you walk across the tracks to get out as well. So it's definitely not as controlled as it is in the UK, I think. And then during my gap year after university, I also travelled a lot around kind of Southeast Europe. And I just fell in love with it. Like the food is really nice, very heavy, but very nice. People are lovely once you get to know them. Sometimes take a little bit of time to warm up. But yeah, generally, I just really like it. I think people are very welcoming. And when we started traveling, people weren't that used to hearing people speak English. So we're a bit of a novelty, which helps.
Yeah, you have slightly answered my question there. I was going to ask about sort of your favourite things about Prague. What's kind of kept you there? We're obviously then going to do a deep dive into the specifics of what listeners can do in Prague. But what do you think, what is it that kind of magic that Prague has that has kept you there?
So I think from a visitor's point of view, from an expat's point of view, I think it's just the consistency of the beauty. You can walk around the centre of Prague for a whole weekend, and there's not a single street that doesn't have some kind of aesthetic pleasure.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not just the old town, that's all the neighbourhoods around, Vinohrady and Letná and Karlín. You have these kind of neo-Renaissance Art Nouveau apartment buildings, churches, parks, cafes. It's just incredibly pretty. And the way Prague has developed, they've kind of kept all the beautiful stuff in the centre and built all the ugly stuff on the outside. So all the, you know, communist panelaki, like these high-rise flats, they're outside the centre. And in London, by contrast, you have, you know, really beautiful things next to really ugly things.
Yeah.
You'll have, you know, Christopher Wren Church in the shadow of this horrible glass skyscraper.
Yeah.
And there is a charm to that as well. There's something really nice about walking through the streets and turning a corner and suddenly you see something, you know, that's 800 years old.
Yeah.
That's also amazing. But sometimes you have to wade through quite a lot of ugly to get to the beautiful. I mean, certainly if you're visiting Prague, you don't really see the ugly. You just see the beautiful.
Lovely.
Cool. Well, that leads us on very, very nicely to discuss some of your favourite things to do. So let's get to it. So Joe, to kick things off, as usual, we're going to go through our quickfire round. So we're asking you to give us a quickfire tour of Prague, and we're going to name a few categories, and you have to suggest just one thing, just one thing. I think we need to get Chefra on this, Lucy. Just one thing to do. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to start with your favourite thing to eat.
Oh, tough one.
Yeah, going right in at the deep end.
Okay. Well, I have five or six. Is that okay?
I've been foiled already. Damn.
I think I have to choose one, which is very cruel. I think the roast duck with hoskovy knedlíky, which are bread dumplings and pickled red cabbage. That's the thing that I love and that I miss when I'm not in the Czech Republic for a while. Particularly my mother-in-law's version is very good.
Mm.
It's also something we traditionally have between Christmas and New Year. So it's a nice reward for getting through the fried carb and potato salad that you normally have on Christmas Day. And unfortunately, my mother-in-law doesn't cook commercially, but there are some good pubs in Prague that serve it, even chains like Kolkovna, and they do really good roast duck. So I definitely recommend trying that.
We're recording this on a very rainy day in London, and that sounds wonderfully comforting. Yes. I would love to be having that after this podcast recording. I'm going to mix it up. So, Joe, your favourite view?
Mm-hmm. Again, there are a lot in Prague, but if I'm picking one, I think the view from Vyšehrad, which is a historic citadel, castle, mm-hmm. It's about a mile and a half down the river from Prague Castle. And it's just a view that you don't really see, because most of the really impressive views in Prague are over the Old Town or Malostrana. And this one is down the river, and you look up the river across several bridges to Prague Castle in the distance. And at night, when everything's lit up, it's absolutely beautiful. By the way, Czechs really know how to light a historic building. I don't know why, but I don't know anywhere else in the world I've been that lights a historic building so well.
Yeah, I can definitely pay testament to that. I can remember. Yeah, they've just got it down. They've got that underlighting down. Excellent. Okay, moving on. I want to know, and I think this is quite a tricky one in Prague in particular, but your favourite museum or gallery?
Yes. So Prague has always had amazing artefacts, but it hasn't always had great museums. Traditionally, they're quite dry. You have, you know, kind of little square with a paragraph about the exhibit, and there's no great attempt to get people excited or engage the kids.
Yeah.
But that's changed quite a lot in recent years. And the National Museum at Wenceslas Square reopened in 2018. And that now has kind of really impressive multimedia exhibitions. But for interactivity, I think, and as a family, one of our favourite museums is the National Museum of Agriculture.
Okay. Oh.
Which doesn't sound very exciting. But it's really good for kids because everything is geared towards interactive play. So kids can ride on tractors, they can go shopping in a mini greengrocer's, they can learn to cook in a proper chef's kitchen.
Nice.
There's also an aquarium and a petting zoo, and the rooftop garden has a really beautiful view of Prague Castle and the Old Town. So I've just snuck in a second view.
Oh, nice. Sneaky.
Sneaky. Well done. Very well played. I'm going to bring it back to the table. How about your favourite thing to drink?
I mean, honestly, I think I'd be thrown out of the Czech Republic if I didn't say beer. For those who, I'm sure your listeners know, but Pilsner beer, which is most lagers, was invented in Czech Republic. It was in the town of Pilsen, which is just about 50 miles west of Prague. You know, Pilsner Urquell was the original, and then all of the Czech beers, a lot of them you get in the UK, Kozel, Staropramen, Krušovice, Budvar, which is the original Budweiser, not the rubbish one. And the price of the beer is still really low. It's not as cheap as it was, but it's still maybe £1.50 to £2.50 in the centre of Prague.
Wow.
And a lot less outside of Prague. And one thing that's nice for me personally is that because I'm back and forth between the UK and Czech Republic, I can have good lager when I'm here, and I can have good ale when I'm in the UK, because the other way around is not always great.
So the best of both worlds in that case.
Best of both worlds. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend a Czech stout or porter in the same way I wouldn't really recommend a lot of British lagers.
No, I'm here for you with that. okay, and then finally on the quickfire round, and you're doing extremely well with this, your perfect day activity. So what would you do on a perfect day?
So I think walking on Pechín Hill, I think it's one of the nicest green spaces in the city because it has a mix of woodland trails and manicured gardens and another view, I'm afraid, really beautiful view across the river to the Old Town. And one thing I really like, it has interesting bits of history, but the one that always kind of makes me chuckle is on the top you have Pechín Tower, which looks like the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
And is technically the same height, but only if you include the hill.
Oh, I so see. Okay.
Quite clever. So it's 60 meters tall, but from river level, it's 350 meters. And that is not cheating. That is economy. I wouldn't say the tower itself is not really worth the climb, but it's, you know, from the top of the hill, the views are great and the tower is quite helpful for navigating around the city.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
That's great answers, Joe. I have to say, I really enjoyed that quickfire round. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to talk a bit more about sort of things to do specifically in Prague. What are some sort of like key highlights in this city that visitors shouldn't miss? would you say?
For me, I think there's the big three, basically. You have Charles Bridge,
yep.
Prague Castle, and the astronomical clock in the Old Town Square.
Yeah.
And those are obviously about as on the beaten path as you can get.
Yep.
Sure.
But it's still possible to enjoy them in less touristy ways.
Mm.
So Charles Bridge, which, again, I'm sure people know, it's a medieval stone bridge. 14th, early 15th century it was built. And if you walk across the bridge during the day, now, any time of year, any day, it's heaving. But if you visit nearby Clementinum, which is on the Old Town side of the bridge, you can climb the tower and you have a great view straight down the bridge across to Malostrana. At the same time, Prague Castle, it's you know, a big complex of historical buildings, but most people stick to St. Vitus Cathedral, which is the most visible aspect of it.
Yep.
And, you know, the cathedral is incredible. It has stained glass windows by Alphonse Mucha, which are absolutely masterpiece. But there's also so much more to see in the castle complex. So there's St. George's Basilica, which is one of the oldest churches in Prague. Lobkowitz Palace, which has some Canaletto paintings, including a really beautiful one of London. And then, you know, there's gardens, there's Queen Anne's Summer Palace. There's this really quaint street called Novi Svet, or the New World. So, yeah, that's kind of a way to see Prague with less tourists. You can also come in the evenings when the buildings are closed, but the crowds are gone and you can appreciate the architecture and the peace and quiet.
Yeah.
And beautifully lit up. And finally, I would say the astronomical clock gets a bit of a bad reputation because on the hour it has a quite underwhelming show where 12 apostles kind of pop out and do a little procession.
Yeah. I've seen it. It does feel a little bit like an anticlimax.
It is a little bit. The problem is it's a big crowd of people turn up and you can hear the kind of audible disappointment afterwards.
It's kind of like, it's a little bit like, you know, if you go to see a band and everyone's turned up and you're right at the back, at a festival, and you're right at the back of the field or something like that. It kind of has that vibe.
Yes, very true. So most people come, you know, 5 minutes before the hour and leave 5 minutes afterwards.
Mm.
But I think if you come between the hours and you really look at the clock, it's just remarkable. I mean, this thing was installed in 1410, but it tells the local time, obviously. It tells old Czech time. It tells the day, the month, the season. It reveals the current location of the sun and the moon, the lunar phase, the time of sunrise and sunset. I just think it's one of the most beautiful mechanical objects on Earth.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a tendency to just wait for the show and then leave with the crowds. It's definitely worth sticking around and looking at it in detail.
Yeah, you've ticked off like kind of the big three, and I really like the kind of angle of like how to see them better almost, or see them without the huge crowds. But could you tell me about some hidden gems in Prague that listeners might not know about?
Mm-hmm. So in terms of places that are fairly accessible from the centre and not too weird and niche.
You can go weird and niche if you want. It's fine. It's a safe space. It's a
well, it's fairly niche. So the dripstone wall at Wallenstein Gardens.
Mm.
I think this is really interesting. It's a wall that's covered in stalactite-like rocks. But when you get closer, you see that there are little figures inside. So there's little human heads or animals carved into it. It's quite creepy.
Yeah.
When you look at it from a distance, you get the sense that something's off.
Mm.
But it's only when you get close and you spend a bit of time looking at it, you realise what's going on.
Cool.
So that's very interesting. At Vischerhard Citadel, which is the place I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
there's a system of underground tunnels that you can walk through. And it's quite a unique experience, as long as you're not claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Inside, there's this big hall that's home to six of the original statues from Charles Bridge.
Ah.
And then I would say, if you're looking for some nature close to the city, then Dyfokashaka is a really good option. It's a big nature reserve. It's just a short tram ride away from the centre. And finally, as I was saying, we first started travelling in Central and Eastern Europe when I was 16, 17.
Mm.
And one thing that really surprised us was how popular jazz was in their region.
Mm.
And it became a bit of a symbol of freedom under communist rule, and there were big jazz scenes in most of the Eastern Bloc countries.
Yeah.
in the 20th century. And today, Prague is still a great place to catch a jazz performance. There's clubs like Reduta, Ungelt, Agata. The quality is really high and the audiences are really appreciative.
Yeah.
Great.
I managed, on the dreaded stag do, I did actually manage to catch a bit of jazz and it was great. It was really of high quality from what I can remember.
And we always love to hear about live music on the podcast.
Absolutely.
And then, Joe, if listeners then wanted to make a longer trip to the Czech Republic, are there any other places that they should explore?
Yes, there definitely are. When I was thinking about this, I realised they all start with K. So I thought I'd lean into that. Why not? So probably one of the biggest day trips is a place called Karlstein, which is a castle in a valley. It's a short train ride from Prague.
Yeah.
It's quite close to where I live now, actually. Mm. But it's one of three famous castles in the region, all Ks. The others are Konopiště and Křivoklát. Another popular day trip is Kutná Hora, which is famous for its Gothic bone church. So it's a chapel where the skeletons of around 50,000 people were rearranged to form decorations. So there's a big chandelier made from, it has at least one of every bone in the human body.
Yeah.
I've heard about this.
Yes.
This always turns up every Halloween. Yes. Every Halloween when we do travel articles, etc.
Yes.
I think the Czech Bone Church turns up. But yeah, I didn't know about the chandelier. That is kind of creepy. Every single bone in the human body.
Every bone. I think at least one of. I think many more. It's massive.
Terrifying. Wow.
There's also Karlovy Vary, which is a spa town, which is probably best known for having a film festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I put Krumlov brackets Chesky. It's just Chesky Krumlov. But I was trying to keep the K theme, which is probably the most perfect fairy tale town, certainly in the Czech Republic, probably beyond. I think if you're an American or an Australian, you have a picture of a European town in your mind's eye, and that's Český Krumlov.
Oh, wow. So kind of like quite medieval, I'd say, maybe? Or
yeah, really historic. It's kind of on a bend in the river, so it's kind of, it kind of arches around. You have a castle on the top. There's a bear, possibly bears plural, living in the moat.
Oh.
Wow, okay.
It's kind of, you know, perfect orange rooftops, and it's very, very beautiful.
Fantastic.
But for me, I think the highlight is Krkonoše, which are the mountains in the north of Czech Republic on the border with Poland. And we go there every summer to escape the city for a few days. And it's excellent.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for all of that. I love the K theme.
Yes.
the Kardashians of the Czech Republic.
Thanks so much, Jo. That was a great, great trip around Czech Republic. Let's move on to talk a little bit about what's going on in Prague right now. Hello, Where to Go listeners, it's James here. It's coming up to Christmas, and what greater gift could there possibly be than the promise of future adventures? So we've teamed up with our friends at WH Smith for a very special offer. Until the 7th of January, you can get 20% off any DK Eyewitness travel guide, including all of our Eyewitness Top 10 and Like a Local guides. To claim your discount online, simply go to whsmith.co.uk, choose your book, and enter the code EYEWITNESS20. And in any high street store, visit the link in our episode bio and show the QR code at the checkout. Offer excludes delivery costs, excludes stores at airports, railway stations, motorway service stations, hospitals, garden centres and workplaces, and books by WH Smith at Selfridges, Harrods, Phoenix and Arnott's. Full T's and C's available at whsmith.co.uk/terms.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, Joe, when's the best time to visit Prague?
So, for me personally, weather-wise, late spring and early autumn are perfect. The weather is consistently early to mid-20s with just a little rain, which I think is great for a city break. More specifically, it's really good to be here at the end of April or early May, because 30th of April is Čarodejnice, which is Witch's Night.
Okay. Oh.
It's where people kind of say goodbye to winter and welcome in the warmer months.
Ooh.
Usually with sausages cooked on a campfire.
Excellent.
Great.
And the next day, 1st of May, there's a tradition for couples to kiss under cherry trees. So if you go to Pečín Hill, which I mentioned earlier, you'll find lots of people doing that. Alternatively, in September, it's the season of Borčak, which is young wine. It's slightly fizzy, fermented wine, which is I think is really delicious. But it is a hangover in a bottle.
Okay.
And you'll see it on sale all over Prague. And there's a big Borčak festival in Karlstein every year, the castle. That's a good day trip from Prague. Personally, summer, I think, gets very hot and also very busy. I would avoid June to August if you can. And then, you know, winter, obviously December's popular with the Christmas markets. And if you like skiing, then early in the year is good, because you can get to the mountains quite quickly from Prague. And the price compared to, you know, nearby Austria, even Slovenia now, it's definitely a good budget skiing destination.
Great.
Could I ask you a little bit more about Christmas? Just because Bella, who is part of the Where to Go team, me and Bella were talking on the bus earlier, and she was saying that she was at Prague just before Christmas, and it was really, really magical. I think some of the, what you said about Prague's lighting skills really come to the fore around Christmas time, don't they? But could I ask you what the atmosphere is like around Christmas time?
So in Prague, the main market is the Old Town Square, and this is, it's really beautiful. They have all the wooden, I guess it's similar to a German style Christmas market, which I know you get a lot in the UK as well. So you have Svažák, which is glühwein, like mulled wine, and grog, hot rum, is very popular.
Excellent.
Not very nice, but very popular. And yeah, there's lots of like wooden toy stalls and lots of snacks. It's really beautiful, and there's a huge, enormous tree in the middle of the Old Town Square. I would say that there are also markets on pretty much every other square in Prague. So it is maybe worth leaving the Old Town and trying some other ones where you'll find more locals and more things are more geared towards the locals.
Yeah.
There's less touristy stuff. You won't find, you know, a big Candy King stall or something like that.
Yes.
I'm guessing there's sausages too, right?
Always sausages.
Excellent.
Always. Yes, it's great. It's a really nice place to spend Christmas. And there's normally snow, not always in December, definitely in January.
Okay.
And yeah, every town and village has its own little market.
Lovely. I love a Christmas market.
Yeah, me too.
And then, Joe, sort of those are sort of, you know, perennial events. Are there any particular events specifically in 2024 to mark in the calendar?
Yes, so the big one, 2024 marks 200 years since the birth of Bedřich Smetana, who is a classical composer who is considered the father of Czech music. He's a bigger cultural figure here than Dvořák, who is obviously more internationally famous. A similar story with Franz Kafka, actually, that he's much more internationally renowned than he is locally.
Oh, really? Yeah,
probably because he wrote in German rather than Czech, so there's a bit of distance. But yes, anyway, because of the anniversary, 2024 has been named the National Year of Czech Music. So there'll be lots of special music festivals, concerts, theatre performances in Prague. But also, it's not only in Prague, but also in Smetana's birth city of Litomyšl, which is about 2 hours' drive from Prague. They have lots of special events happening, and it's a beautiful place to visit. They have this enormous Renaissance-style castle, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So, yeah, if you're a classical music fan, then next year is a good time to come to the Czech Republic.
Fantastic. Brilliant. And Okay, we're going to bring it down culturally a little bit. So, and as we've established, I'm part of the problem here. But a few years ago, the Prague Tourism Board made headlines for declaring war on stag parties. Would you say Prague is still considered a stag capital?
Thankfully, no.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near as overrun with stag do's and hen do's as it used to be.
Mm.
When I used to fly from the UK to Czech Republic, half of the flight would be stags and hens.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
That is not the case now. And I think it's a mix of overall costs. Like, Prague is not the budget destination it used to be.
Yep.
So stag do's have moved on to other cheaper Eastern European cities.
Yeah.
Places like Riga, I think, are suffering now. And there's also the fact that government here clamped down on certain activities that were causing havoc. Things like beer bikes, organised pub crawls, strip clubs, even Segway tours.
Mm.
And nowadays, you're far more likely to see a wedding party in Prague than a stag do. It's particularly popular for wedding spot for South Koreans.
Mm.
And they come over. So you'll very often see South Korean brides getting their photo taken in front of beautiful Czech monuments.
And that sounds much less invasive than a British stag party. Yeah, or bachelor party. But yeah, I had a good time. It was enjoyable.
I'm sure you did. To be fair, I had my stag party here, but I also had my wedding here, so I think it was allowed.
I think of all people, you can get away with it, Joe.
So Joe, in this season we're exploring how listeners can support local communities when they're traveling. So what sort of things can travelers think about, aside from perhaps not going on a stag do, when they visit Prague?
So there are lots of Prague cafes that support social enterprises. So there's a place called Kavana Bilavrana, which is close to Wenceslas Square, and Cafe Ad Astra near Tavisharad. They both focus on employing people with disabilities. So those are very worthy causes, I think. For souvenirs, I think it's the same as anywhere, really. You just try and avoid the tourist traps go to the shops that promote local designers and artists. Places like Allee Allee near the Lennon Wall and local artists in Malastrana.
Mm-hmm.
I think generally support local business. Go to local coffee shops instead of chains, and you'll also have a much more enjoyable, authentic experience. My wife also told me to stress that people shouldn't buy tedelnik, which are these chimney cakes.
Okay.
There's signs everywhere in the old town that say old Bohemian tradition, and it is complete nonsense. It didn't exist until about 10 or 15 years ago. And chimney cakes are a thing. So I also cover, because I cover Central and Eastern Europe quite widely. So the ones in Romania and Hungary, which are generally called krutoškolac, are traditional. So I would suggest not getting a tedelnik in Prague and instead booking an extra holiday to Budapest or Bucharest and having one there instead.
Okay, there we go. Don't.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent recommendation.
You've been warned / advised, maybe. I do remember one thing on this stag do is one of my friends bought off like a hawker or something, like a set of Russian dolls with various British football players' names on them. And we were in a bar like a little bit later and someone just laughed at him and was like, that's the furthest thing away from Czech that you can possibly get. So yeah, that's it's all right.
I think that would be about the same as someone in the UK buying a beret.
Yeah.
A traditional souvenir.
It's quite a bizarre decision. But that's great. Such a great like kind of series of recommendations there. I was going to kind of like end us on one final question about beer, just because I want to know a little bit more, because we discussed it in the quick fire round. But are there any like kind of exciting sort of like breweries, anyone doing sort of pilsner like amazingly well, if you had to send our listeners to one place to have an amazing Prague beer, where would you go, assuming that they're not on a stag do?
Oh, there are a lot. I really love Kotor Brewery. But I don't know how easy that is to find in Prague. In the shop sometimes you can buy a bottle, but I don't know where it would be on tap, I'm afraid. If you go to Vinohady, there's Vinohadska Pivovar. It's a brew pub, so you can go in and see the tanks, and it's that's a really good option. And actually in Karlin there is a place called Devakahoti, where they basically brew the beer during the day and then they open the bar late afternoon and you can drink it fresh from the tap. And that is excellent, excellent lager. And if people aren't lager fans generally, then I would recommend Kozel do a beer. I don't think you can get it in the UK. It's Cherny Kozel. It's like black. It's a black version of their beer.
I've not seen a black version. I've definitely had Kozel a few times before.
Yeah, so yeah. Kozel you see now a bit in the UK.
Yeah.
So it's a darker beer, basically. So it's not a stout. It's still made using the Pilsner process. But I think they must use some darker malts or something. I'm not really sure how it's made, but it's very good. And it's a good option if you're not a big lager fan.
Cheers to that. Thanks very much. there's some great recommendations there. And thanks very much, Joe. This brings to an end our wonderful trip around Prague. Some amazing recommendations. Yeah, I hope you enjoy them, listeners. Massive thanks to Joe. Wasn't that a great tour of Prague, Lucy?
It was a really great tour of Prague. I think I said off air, but I was really glad that we talked about the big three. And, you know, the, I can't say it, but the astronomical clock.
Yes.
And that sort of, you know, it might be underwhelming, but at the same time, it's really amazing. I just thought it was a very sort of down-to-earth approach to a really historical city. So a big thank you to Joe.
I think something we do in general when we talk about travel as well a lot of the time is we downplay sort of big attractions as well, or kind of almost feel sheepish about mentioning them because of over tourism, because of, you know, massive crowds, etc. But actually, if you can find ways to experience them or find different ways to explore them, so your Eiffel Towers, etc., your Colosseums, they are amazing for a reason. There's a reason why they're famous. And that is so true with the astronomical clock. And actually, on one of the moments of calm on this stag do that I went on many years ago, I do remember, as Joe was recommending, like walking a bit off-piste around the Prague Castle grounds and actually seeing some of the rest of the complex away from the crowds. And it's an amazing, amazing building. So yeah, I really, really appreciated that. And it's given me a bit of an incentive to go back to Prague, maybe to right some wrongs and see the city in a better light. So if you live in Prague, I'm sorry I went on a stag do there. But but also, yeah, it's only great incentive to come back as well. So
exactly.
Thanks very much to Joe. So if you want to follow Joe's work, you can find him at josephreeny.com. And I believe, Lucy, we can also check out his new podcast, Strange Old World. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Yeah, so it's another travel podcast, hooray, but it's with a peculiar twist. So I think every week they delve into a famous sort of old world city to discover its stranger side. So Prague, Paris, Copenhagen, Cairo, and I think then local experts reveal unusual sights and bizarre festivals and sort of strange delicacies that wake the world's sort of oldest historic cities tick. So I think if you go to strangeoldworld.com, there's more information and you can check out the podcast there.
Absolutely. And I will be listening in. I don't think the first episode's aired yet whilst we're recording this, but I think it's coming out very soon.
So yes.
Waiting with bated breath for that. So do you know where we're off to for the next episode, Lucy?
I do. We're very excitingly off to Egypt.
This is another one where I feel like we must have done that podcast before, but we have not.
The world's a big place.
I don't know how much listeners know, but I also work on children's books as well. We've done lots on like ancient Egypt recently. In fact, I had the pleasure of working with an Egyptologist earlier in the year. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, so very, very excited to do that. And I know we've got a brand new Egypt guide coming up pretty soon as well. So
we do, yes. Our lovely editor, Lucy SK, is working very hard on that right now.
Yes, we will be in Egypt, so you can join us there, listener, in a fortnight's time. But until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And we shall see you very soon. Where to Go is a podcast from DK Eyewitness. It was produced by Julia Baker, presented by Lucy Richards and James Atkinson, with the help of Bella Talbot. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness. And please like and follow the show. And if you have time, leave a review. Your support means so much to us.